This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, light serene and still, our darkened spirits fill with thy clear day. Guide of the feeble sight, star of grief's darkest night, reveal the path of right. Show us thy way. Amen. Good morning. When you have been wearing one of these for as long as I have, both on the Roman Catholic side of the fence and the Episcopal side, you preach on this particular gospel a lot, such that it becomes hard to look at these scriptures and think of something to say that I haven't already told you. Certainly we know, as we study salt and we've preached and talked about salt as Jesus does, that we're called to give flavor like salt does. Certainly we can look at how salt was used as a disinfectant. We are called to be healers. We can look at salt as a preservative, and as we are called, even in the Old Testament, the salt of the covenant, to preserve that which God has given to us and all those things, but you've heard all that. So I thought, I really need some new inspiration to preach something a little bit new. And so I did what I usually do when I want to come up with some ideas for sermons. I went to the boys. Now, for those of you who do not know, the boys is a fruit and vegetable and meat market that is on Military Trail in South Del Rey, very close to the Boca Raton border. The clientele is notorious for, let's say, not being very nice to each other. Now, normally when I go to the boys, I wear my collar, because when I do, it's like the parting of the Red Sea when I go down the aisles. But I decided intentionally, I'm going to go to the boys, but I'm not wearing my collar. And in addition to that, intentionally, I'm going to seek out the people who seem to be giving all the other people the most difficult time, and I'm going to go over the top to be nice to those people and see what happens. Well, I didn't have to even get off the parking lot into the store for my challenge to begin. There were three arguments of people on the parking lot. Now, the one that seemed to be the most egregious, and I don't know what the problem was, but there was a lady who was already done shopping and placing the things into her trunk, and she was arguing with somebody in a car over here about which I do not know. But I had to walk right past her, and as I did, I got her attention, and I said to her, "That is a lovely blouse you're wearing, and it accents the color of your eyes." Well, at least it stopped her from arguing with the person next to her. And then I continued on, and if you've been there, you go inside the front door there, and if you're not getting a little shopping cart, they have those little baskets that you can pick up to put your things in. But unfortunately, there's so many of them, they stick together. And there was this man who was probably in his 80s who was struggling to pull out one of those baskets without taking five underneath it with it. And the man behind him was very impatient and upset that it was taking this man so long. I was behind him. I went around the two of them and picked out the basket for the man, and I said, "You know, they really do get stuck. You need help sometimes." And I gave it to him, and he went in. Then came the man who was complaining. I picked one out for him as well and said, "I hope you have a wonderful day." Then there was the third incident. We love artichokes in our house. The boy says the best artichokes. But they put the box of artichokes right in the aisle, right in front of all those prepared foods, which is the longest line on a Friday afternoon at the boys. And so I'm there, and I'm trying to pick out the artichokes to buy, and I hear this voice and the cart in the ankle behind me, and the lady says, "You're in the way. Get out of the aisle." Remembering my intentionality, I said, "Oh, I am so sorry. I did not realize I was in your way. Let me move out, and you can come through." And she did. And as fate would have it, when it was time to go to the checkout line, guess who was behind me? The same lady. Now, I had a lot more than she had to check out, but I said, "You know, it's obvious to me that you are in much more of a hurry today than I am, so you go right ahead in front of me." And she did. Now, I left the boys that day. Now, I don't know if the lady in the parking lot or the man with the baskets or that lady I just mentioned had a different kind of a day as a result of what I chose to do. I hope they did. But I will tell you this. I had an incredible day. It put me into such a frame of mind that there really wasn't anything that was going to ruin my day. I think there's something to this when Jesus talks to us about being the salt of the earth and the light for the world. There are tons of uses for salt. As a matter of fact, if we can scroll that one slide, I just did a quick Google search, and if it'll come up, I found over 100 uses for salt. But the amazing thing is, there isn't one of the uses for salt that is salt unto itself. It is salt interacting and making a difference for something else. Sounds like our Christian call to me. I also, as I've done before, go back to my Cook's Illustrated magazine, which is a great thing. They do chemical interactions between foods, and they teach you about them. And there were some that I have looked at before that I think are just amazing about salt as an analogy for what we're called to be. If you take a little bit of salt when you're making coffee, it'll make the coffee less bitter. Salt reduces bitterness. If you have some dirty skillets or something that you're trying to clean up and you want to make them shiny, you add a little bit of salt to what you're cleaning with, and salt makes things shiny. If you're cooking vegetables and you want your green beans to stay green, you add a little salt and somehow it does something with the chlorophyll and it interacts and it makes the green beans brighter. Salt brings out the color. And if you are trying to chill a nice bottle of Puy Fuissé very quickly, don't just use ice. Take some ice, mix it with water and salt. Because salt lowers the freezing temperature of the water and thus makes the water more effective as a chilling agent. Salt makes things more effective. So think about that. Salt reduces bitterness. Salt makes things shiny. Salt brings out the color. Salt makes things more effective. Sounds like what Jesus was trying to get at. When you look at the way Jesus put this into practice in his life, There was not a single individual he interacts with in the four Gospels that he doesn't do this with. No matter where you've been, what you've done, what you haven't done, how you've lived up to it, what a scoundrel you might be, he's always going to try to do this, to reduce the bitterness, to make you shine, to bring out your color, to make you more effective. I mean, look, whether it's the adulterous woman, whether it is the woman at the well, whether it is Zacchaeus up a tree, whether it's a sick man who's lying at the pool of Bethsaida and has been waiting for years, whether it's the woman who bleeds for years and years, every single person he meets, he finds a way to do this. And maybe it's just what he's telling us that we need to do as well, whether it's at the boys, whether it's in our families, wherever we happen to be. You all know that one of my heroes is John Claypool, who's gone to heaven in these past years. But John was a Baptist preacher, became an Episcopal priest, and incredible wisdom in the things he said. And he talks about the way we interact with people. And he says, we often want to meet evil on its own terms. We want to give it back with a measure of itself, fighting evil with evil. But in trying to combat evil with evil, we become it. And evil wins. Giving evil a dose of its own medicine only increases evil. He talks about when he was growing up as a boy that he developed a weird form of tuberculosis, and their family physician, who was a friend of the family, got very upset. Why should this boy have this disease that could be so debilitating and life-threatening? And John Claypool writes, wouldn't it be silly if that doctor had said, I hate you, tuberculosis. I hate you so much that I'm going to give you a taste of your own medicine, so I'm going to inject more tuberculosis into this boy. And to fight the disease with the disease is going to be nothing but make it worse. This is the call that we have. Not to fight evil with evil, but to try to fight it by responding in contrast rather than in kind. Jesus says, do good to those who hurt you. This is not easy. There is something within each of us. When that cart hits us in the back of the leg, we'd like to turn around and slap him right in the face. Does that do any good for me or for that person? This whole Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives, he is turning our world and hopefully our viewpoint upside down, that if we are to be this salt, if we are to be this light, is the only way that we can make a difference. We got to stop this madness. This is crazy. And you know what they say about insanity being defined as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get different results? Why are we doing this to each other? Whether it's the things and the arguments and the name-calling we are doing in social media, whether it is the way we're behaving out in the world, this is not what Jesus calls us and enables us to be. There has never been a more exciting time right now in our country to be a Christian. Because we can show, as St. Paul will later say in Corinthians, let me show you a better way. This is our chance to shine. There is a movie that came out in around 1950, I think, and I was trying to get the clip of it, but couldn't find it. But it tells the story, it's called Stars in My Crown. And it tells the story that's supposedly based on a true story of a preacher who comes to a rather racist town And he's going to preach, and I can remember even some of the early times he's preaching, he's got a gun at his side to protect himself. But there is a story that comes at the end of this movie and book where there is this old black man, and he is sort of the Uncle Remus of the town. The kids love him. He tells them stories. He's very much liked by most of the townspeople, but the power and authority in the town figure out that there is a copper deposit on his property, and they want to get his property so they can use it for mining. And of course, it's his home. He doesn't want to sell it. So they do all sorts of nasty things to get him falsely accused, and they're basically going to lynch him. And so in the story, he goes out at night with the preacher in his Sunday best to the area where they know that these bad guys are going to appear. And they go out there, and sure enough, they come. And they look at the preacher and the black man and say, "What are you doing?" And the preacher says, well, he knows he's about to die, so he wanted to give me his last will and testament. So I'd like to share it with you all. And there they are with their guns drawn. And he says, as he reads, "I would like to leave my fishing pole to Joe, because I remember when I taught Joe how to fish using this fishing pole." And with that, Joe lowers his gun. And then he says, "And I would like to leave my rifle with Jack, because I remember when Jack and I went out shooting for the first time and I taught him how to shoot properly, it's only right that Jack should get my rifle." And with that, Jack lowers his gun. And then he says, "And to John the banker, who's been trying to get my mortgage and to confiscate my property all these years, I might as well give it to him anyway." So John gets the property. And with that, John lowers his gun. And one by one, they all melt away, just like those people who were ready to stone the adulterous woman. The preacher walks away and comes back, and one of the grandkids has watched what has transpired in the background and runs up and says, "Grandpa, what kind of a will was that?" And he responds, "It was the will of God." It makes the point to respond to evil with more evil, as simple as a parking lot conversation or as grandiose as a life and death situation. This is our call. This is our opportunity to be salt for this earth, to be light for this world. May we be such. Amen.